If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. Let me jump into this. And since we are fresh into the summer, I thought that this would be a great topic and a great title. You know, the last couple of weeks, final exams at my house. It has been locked down at my house. Trevor is 15. He just finished his freshman year. And final exams week, it's a big deal. How many remember taking exams when you were in school? Oh, yeah. You remember the pressure that was associated with that week of testing? Yeah. And thankfully, Trevor's very disciplined. He's diligent. He hibernated for a week. We didn't have to stay on him to say, are you studying? You ready? I mean, the brother was prepared. In fact, I got his report card yesterday. My man aced it. And he's not just a great athlete, but he's a good student. He's rocking that 4.1 GPA. Come on, somebody. Smart like his mama. But it made me think about, you know, the test that we would take in school. And, you know, I thought about this. Even in life, there will always be tests. And so the title of the message today, I want to really develop this idea of testing, okay? So the title is, this is only a test. This is only a test. And I'm old enough to remember watching TV and then your program cutting out and beep, this is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. How many of you remember that? Okay, so I'm not alone. Okay, I don't know if they do that anymore, but you know what they would say is, if this were an actual emergency, here's what you would need to do. But this is only a test. I want to talk to you about tests, because you can graduate from high school, but you're always going to be taking tests. I got out of high school thinking, man, I'm so glad that's over. And then I went to college and realized, man, the tests were just at a whole nother level. And then you walk across that platform and get that degree and you're thinking, man, I'll never have to study for another test in my life. And the tests just keep coming. I want you to know this. Here's what I sense for us as a church, specifically for us as a staff. We are going through a season of tests. We are being tested. Some of you, you know this in a very personal way. Some of you are walking through some very difficult times where, kind of like back in high school when it was final exams week and you were locked in your room and you felt the pressure and you're thinking, man, there's a lot to remember, this cumulative review. Man, I'm responsible for a lot. If I'm going to maintain that grade, there's a lot expected of me. Some of you feel that same sense even now. And as I prayed for our church, as I prayed for you, I prayed for our staff, I was reminded, and the Lord showed me in a very, very tangible, practical way, that we are walking through a season of testing. This is a time of testing. What do you do when you're being tested? How do you respond when the pressure's on, when you're in circumstances that are maybe beyond your control? Now, here's what we don't do. We're not just managers. Managers react, and sometimes managers overreact, but leaders lead. And what you and I are called to do during times of testing is to not react in panic, but to lead from a place of spiritual intimacy with God. My prayer is, Lord, what are you doing in this season of testing? God, what is it that you're trying to teach us in times of testing? It's no secret what the economy's doing. It's no secret that offerings have been down. It's no secret, and we talked about this the last time we were together, some of the difficult decisions that we've had to make navigating this. There's pressure. I feel squeezed. I feel like I'm in a tight place. I was telling Earl yesterday, I feel like my belt is so tight sometimes I just can't even breathe. That's what I sense. Okay, well, Lord, what are you doing in this season of testing? James chapter 1, verse 2. Here's what the scripture says. Consider it great joy. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? Consider it great joy, my brothers. Now he's talking to family, spiritual families, talking to the church. This is not some random message. He's talking to believers. Consider it great joy, not just joy, but great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I want you to see there that test produces something. We're going to talk about the significance of test and what God does and how he uses tests in the life of a believer. But the scripture is clear. James says that when we're being tested, it's an occasion, it's an opportunity for great joy. I didn't feel a lot of joy in those final exams. I felt joyful when those tests were over. But the scripture says for the believer, testing is an opportunity for joy. You know why? Because testing is producing something. That thing that you're walking through, this season, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. This season that we're walking through as a staff and as leaders, this time of testing is producing something in us. It says, verse 4, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now notice the words that I've highlighted on the screen. Test produce something that makes us mature and complete. Testing is producing something. Now listen, God will test you and God will allow you to be tested. Now God doesn't tempt. God's not going to tempt you, but he will test you. Temptation comes from the enemy, and that's to pull you away from God. Testing comes from the Lord, and it's to draw you closer to God. When you're being tested, that's when you dig in. That's when you pray more intently. That's when you carve out more time to spend in his presence. That's where you're very intentional. I got to lean into the things of God when I'm being tested. Test produce something that make us mature and complete. I like that. If you're taking notes, the first thing I've written down is four things I want to talk to you about test and how God uses them. And I think this is going to help you specifically. And it's also going to give context to the season that we're walking through as a church and as a staff. Number one, tests reveal what's inside of us. Test will reveal what's inside of you. A lot of times you don't know what's in you until you're tested. Good. I went for some blood work a couple weeks ago. Did a lot of blood panels. Man, you know how it is. They draw blood and then they fill up all these vials and they send them off and then they come back and, hey, here's your labs. You know, here's what's inside of you. I felt fine, but the blood work revealed, the test revealed something in me that I didn't even know. Now think about it. It's true also academically. If you're weak in division principles, that math test is going to reveal to you where your areas of weakness are. If you've taken standardized tests, you've taken the ACT, I tell you how long it's been since I've been in school. I almost went ACDC, didn't I? Akadaka, man. ACT tests you in, what is it? It's like reading comprehension. There's a science portion of it. There's a math portion. There's an English. There's different composites. And if you're weak in some areas, that test will reveal. Test will let you know what's happening in you. Now, I'll speak for me. Sometimes I have fancy ideas about myself that aren't always true. And I don't know it until I'm tested. Sometimes we think we're further along in some areas, and then God will arrange a certain test for us to walk through. And it's like, oh my, I didn't know I was capable of saying that. I didn't know I had it in me to act like that. I never saw that coming. Sometimes I can remember years ago when Rachel and I first got married and we'd be in a restaurant and, you know, kids would be going crazy. And I'm thinking, man, get control of your kids. Babe, listen, we'll never be like that as parents. Guess what God did? He made us parents. And now that I've walked through some of that, when I hear a screaming baby in a restaurant now, I don't think, you poor, pitiful parents, I say, Lord, bless them in Jesus' name. Why? Because testing taught me something about myself. Let me ask you this. In this season of testing as a staff, what's the Lord showing you about you? See, testing is not for God's benefit. He knows everything. Testing is for your benefit, to reveal something to you that you didn't know. If you're offended, how long does it take you to forgive? Could be a test. When it comes to humility, maybe there are issues of pride that's undetected. God will put small assignments and ordinary people in front of you to test you. Come on now. A smaller assignment than what you feel like you're really, I'm capable of so much more. He'll put a small assignment and ordinary people in front of you, and guess what? It's a test. When it comes to patience, can you faithfully work and serve with a good attitude? It may be a test. Psalm 105, verse 19. I love this verse. You know the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis devotes more chapters to Joseph than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Noah combined. I mean, Joseph is the type and shadow. Where are you at, Terry Olivier? Joseph is the type and shadow of Jesus. He's the kind of the ambassador. You study the life of Joseph and you see so many parallels in Christ. But Psalm says this, Psalm 105, 19, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. God made Joseph go through a series of tests. If you remember when Joseph had those dreams, when he first got started, he had tremendous potential. He was favored not just by God, but by his earthly father. Joseph had dreams of these stars in the sky, and his star was shining brighter. He had another dream of these bundles of grain, and his bundle rose up, and everybody else is bowed down to him. Joseph kind of got started full of himself, did he not? He was kind of full of himself. Hey, guys, telling his brothers, I had these dreams. Guess what? One day, y'all going to be bowing to me. Aren't you happy for me? And God arranged three tests for Joseph. The pit, Potiphar's house, and prison. I'm telling you, tests. God will allow us to go through some tests to teach us about ourselves. How did God deal with Joseph? It was a series of tests. How is God going to deal with you and me? We're being tested. Why? There's something that he wants us to learn about ourselves. When Joseph finally passed the test, he went from prison to the palace. And when Joseph's brothers came before him, Joseph wasn't full of himself. He was full of compassion. He said, what you meant for evil, God, he meant it for good. And he sent me ahead so I can save you and your families. You see, Joseph started out thinking only of himself, but he ended up learning the lesson, and he was used to save his family and an entire nation. Come on, can I have a better amen? You see, tests will reveal what's inside of us. Number two, we're tested on material we've already been taught. My dad was in education. He taught the fifth grade for over 30 years. In fact, my dad was my fifth grade teacher. Worst year of my life. Gosh, miserable. In fact, my dad, he didn't want the whole teacher's pet and, you know, I'm the dad and you're the son. He didn't want to cater to me, so I felt like he was harder on me than everybody else. But my dad said this. He said, a good teacher will only test you on information you've already covered. You see, this is good news. Hear me. We're being tested right now. That tells us that the answer to the test is something we have already heard. It's something that we've already been exposed to. Now, here's the bad news. The bad news is life is full of pop quizzes. You remember walking into the classroom and the teacher saying, okay, take out a clean sheet of paper and number it from 1 to 10. And you're like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Was there some reading we were supposed to do last night? Life will have some pop quizzes, okay? But here's the good news. Every test is open book. The scriptures in front of you give you the information you need to pass the test. God is a good teacher. He's not going to test you on something that you haven't heard, learned, received, or been exposed to before. The answer to everything that's bothering you right now, he's already given it to you. I'm telling you, you'll be encouraged when you get this revelation. Now, just because you've never taken this test doesn't mean that you're not prepared. All right, we've in my 10 years of being the lead pastor, we've never quite been in this season. We've never taken this test, but it doesn't mean we're not prepared. Hear me, staff. You are prepared for everything you're being tested in right now. The answer's in there. Now, you may know it in theory, but you're not applying it yet in practice. Sometimes we know it. We can read a passage or hear a Bible study or even listen to a podcast and be like, man, I've heard that message before. Okay. Are you applying what you've heard? Yeah, you have the knowledge. The solution is available to you. I remember in 2012 when our church was just turned upside down and I was thrust into this new level of leadership. And I thought, man, I am in way over my head. I'm not ready. I am not ready. I am not prepared for this. I wanted to just run. Sometimes when you're tested, it's either fight or flight. How many of you are fighters? Get in there and fight. How many of you are flight? Run. I'm a flight person. I don't like conflict. It makes me get red and splotchy in the neck. I don't like having hard conversations. Man, if there's trouble, God bless you. I'll pray for you from a distance. I wanted to run. And I'll never forget, the first pastor to visit me was Dennis Watson. Dennis pastors a great church in Metairie, Celebration. He's come and preached for us before. Many of you know Dennis Watson. He was the first pastor to sit down with me, and it was totally unexpected. He came in unannounced, and I was at my desk thinking, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do today? Pastor, Dennis Watson's here to see you. Oh, really? I'm thinking, man, am I in trouble? He sat down, and this is what he said. I'll never forget this. This was in September of 2012. He said, Pastor, this church needs healing. God's word heals. Psalm 107, verse 20. God's word heals. Preach the word. I thought, you know what? I know the word. I'll start there. I don't know about budgets and staffing and multiple campuses and all these decisions at high levels. I've never been a part of any of that. But I know the word of God, so I'll start there. Guess what? I was ready and didn't know it. Some of you don't think you're ready. And God's saying, no, the answer's in there. You're being tested because I've already gone over this with you. You've walked through some experiences. I've shown you some things. Learn from the pain of your past and apply it to the testing of your present. Come on, are you with me? We're tested on material we've already been taught. Isaiah 11:2, the scripture says this, for the spirit of the Lord will rest upon you. It'll be the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It's in there. I don't know what you're wrestling through right now, mentally or emotionally, where you're feeling that pressure coming from, but the answer that you need is in you. It's a spirit of wisdom and understanding. It's a spirit of counsel and might. It's a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It's in there. When I pray over my kids, and again, I'm down to my last one. Two of them are gone, and we've got 3 years left with TREP. I have prayed this for my kids every single day when I drop them off as they go to school. I pray, Lord, give them the ability to remember the things they have studied and heard and read and prepared for. Here's what I say specifically. They're not just memorizing information to do well on a test, only to forget it the next day. But God, you're giving them revelation knowledge. Listen to me. You have revelation knowledge. Luke 24:45, the scripture says, then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. God's going to give you revelation based on your situation. The answer's inside of you. Is this helping anybody today? I feel like this is plug and play for right where we are. We're being tested as a church, as a staff, but it's material we've already been taught. Here's good news number three. If we bomb a test, we can get help. If you have you ever bombed a test? You ever like, oh man, that was terrible. I mean, not just an F, but a zero. Some of you are laughing. It's bringing you, you got PTSD. Some of you are thinking about the report cards that you hid from your parents. Come on. The good news is if you bomb a test, here's how it works in God's economy. If you fail a test, you never flunk out. You're simply retested. We're going to retest you on this one. You didn't score what you needed to the first time, so we're going to test you again. Listen, some people, they quit and they leave and they never learn the lesson. And they spend their entire lives going around the same dumb mountain again and again and again because they've never learned. Here's the problem. If you don't learn from this test and you simply leave, that problem will follow you into your next chapter. Yeah. It doesn't go away. I'm going to run away from this one. Man, I just want to avoid this one altogether. And God's saying, you know what? Get back here. Get back here. Now, you can change zip codes, but you're still going to have the same challenges because you never learned what I tried to teach you back there. You see, in God's school, you don't flunk out. He's saying, listen, there's some extra help. There's some tutoring. You know, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, okay? We're going to review this. Where did we fall short? Okay, here is a sample test. I've given you the answer key to the test that's coming. Let's take this again. Consider the Apostle Peter. If anybody bombed a test, it was Peter. In fact, Jesus even predicted that he would get an F on that one. Remember? Hey, he says, before the rooster crows, twice, you're going to deny me three times. No, I'll never deny you. I will die for you before I deny you. And what did Peter do? He did exactly what Jesus had predicted. He bombed the test. And he was overcome with such regret. Luke 22 says he cried bitter tears. I mean, Jesus was not just within earshot. He could look, the Bible says Jesus looked him in the eye. Think of his final glimpse of Christ before the crucifixion. Here's my report card, F. Peter didn't even have a chance to apologize to Jesus. Think about that. He felt so terrible about what he had done. Remember, Judas had betrayed him and went out and hanged himself. Would Peter do the same? Why not? Mark 16, on Resurrection Sunday, look at verse 7. Jesus says, now go and tell my disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there just as he told you before he died. Why was Jesus so concerned with Peter? Because that last moment when Jesus was on earth, Peter was failing the test. Listen to me. Peter felt like he wasn't even a disciple anymore. That's why Jesus said, go tell my disciples, including Peter. He's still mine. Can I tell you this? You'll fail a test or two and won't even feel like you're part of the family. And God says, wait a second. You don't flunk out. We're going to do this again. This time, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. Why is it? Listen, it had to be Peter to stand up on the day of Pentecost and give the greatest message that had been recorded. Peter had more converts in one sermon. He had 3,000 people get saved on the day of Pentecost than Jesus probably had his entire earthly ministry. You know why? He had the help of the Holy Spirit. You have the tutor of the Holy Spirit with you. Maybe you're failing tests in your attitude. Maybe your speech has been toxic. Maybe just because of the brokenness of your own situation, you've not been healthy. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you the help of the Holy Spirit. When Peter was retested, he passed it on the day of Pentecost. I love that about it. He never gives up on us. Now, let me give you this final thing. Is this good? Y'all with me? Last thing, finally, number four. Testing is God's method of promotion. Testing is God's method of promotion. You've asked God to promote you, to bless you, to bring you to new levels. You've asked God for increase, for opportunity, for open doors. I'm assuming you have, haven't you? Am I the only one that prays that? If not, you need to start praying that. You need to believe that for your life. Don't get satisfied and settled with what is. Man, you got to believe God for what can be. When you pray for those things, guess what? God wants to give you those things. How does he give them to you? Through testing. How do you go from the fifth grade to the sixth grade? You got to pass some tests. How do you step into that open door? How do you embrace that new opportunity? There's a series of tests. Testing is God's method of promotion. My prayer has been this: Lord, don't promote me if I'm not ready. You want God to put you at a table and give you a level of responsibility, but you've never even passed the test? Then you're leading through incompetence. Come on, somebody. How many know we got a lot of that in the world today? Just because you have a title doesn't make you a leader. Just because you're at the table doesn't make you a leader. Man, your incompetence will follow you. But testing, when you pass the test, boom, this guy's got it. She's got it. Peter understands now. Okay, I know he failed that test, but he understands now. Joseph was full of himself as a young boy, but man, 22 years later, now he's ready. He'll be the prime minister of the entire nation. See, God's got to get you ready to give you the things that you're asking for. And it's not going to come without a series of tests. 1 Peter 1:7, the Bible says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Do you know how gold was purified? There was a process in which they would take gold. Now, gold in its impurities is a very hard, brittle material. But once it goes through a purification process, and here's how it works. They've got to take that gold and they got to grind it into powder. And that represents brokenness. Then they add this thing called flux. I think that represents the Holy Spirit. Then they turn on a little heat and they melt it in a furnace. And the gold stays at the bottom, but the impurities, the dross, it comes to the top. And that refiner will scrape off the dross and he will bring that gold through the same process again and again and again until finally he can see a reflection of himself in the gold. That's when the refiner knows that the gold is pure. He can see a reflection of himself. Wow, this is powerful. Because some of you are being ground into powder. There's a season of brokenness that you have to walk through. Man, the flux represents the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. I know you're teaching me. I know there's things I got to learn. You know, then the heat of affliction, it turns up in your life. And man, God's drawing things out of you that don't belong. And then the refiner's looking and seeing, can I see a reflection of myself? As a staff and as a church, we're going through a season of tests. Don't be discouraged. And let me tell you this. Don't you dare give up. Don't you throw in the towel. This is too hard. I can't do this. You see, the devil wants you to quit now because he knows that on the other side of this test is promotion. The things that you've longed for, the things that you're believing God for. I'll tell you this. Here's what I sense in my heart for our church. Give us 6 months to a year. I know right now the finances are not good. The economy is all of us are being affected. Give us 6 months to a year. You're going to see finances come back. Give us 6 months to a year. You're going to see the health of our staff increase. I know we've talked about leader and that software, you know, that we're going to implement and having meetings and conversations. We're going to be so healthy as a staff as God brings us through this refining process. Think about it. Resources coming back, health as a staff. We're going to another level. And the devil wants you to miss out on that and give up now. Don't let him win. God is with you. God is for you. This is only a test. I believe in you. I believe that I'll tell you this. I am so convinced. I believe in you and the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And whatever it is that you're going through right now, Lord, teach me about me. Lord, what is it that you're trying to show me? Don't get bitter, get better. It's a decision that you and I will make. But then if we pass this test on the other side of it, Scripture says in Revelation 2, don't be afraid. This was a letter to the church at Smyrna. Jesus said, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will suffer for 10 days. It's interesting. 10 days. There was a restricted time limit to the test. Now is not forever. The test of today is not just for today. It feels like forever. When am I ever going to get through this? But the Bible says, hey, this is a test that's only going to last for 10 days. If you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Oh, that's so good. There's a crown on the other side of this. I know it feels like a cross right now, but there's a crown on the other side. I know it's hard and it's pressured and you're being tested, but man, there's promotion on the other side. I prayed, Lord, the other day I was praying, Lord, why are you always dealing with me? Why are you always dealing? Have you ever prayed that? You ever wondered that? God, what gives here? Come on, deal with her. Do something about him, man. They got issues. I can see their, man, convict them, Holy Spirit. Why are you always dealing with me? You know what God told me? He said, Mike, you've asked me for some big things. Do you want them or not? I said, Lord, deal with me. Deal with me. God, I need you. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together. Jake, come up here. Come up here and jump on these keys, man. I want to pray for some people today. Has this been helpful this morning? I don't always say this, but I feel very strongly that this is a word for us. This is. This is not just a good word, a kind of a devotional thought. This is a now word. And some of you, man, this is the extra credit that you needed. This is the tutoring and the mentoring that you needed. You're going to make it through this test. You're going to make it. Hear me. You're going to make it. We are going to make it. And we're going to come out of this thing on the other side in an even better condition than we could have imagined.